Good evening. Get everything situated here. Okay. Not used to all these wires and mics and all this stuff. We don't have it down there. Our sanctuary is about 400 square feet. And so I don't know how many pews that would be, but it's not very many. So when you get 35, 40 people in 400 square feet, you don't have to have a microphone. So, but appreciate the opportunity to preach and give an update on the work there. You all know that we've been down there for about 7 years now, and the Lord's allowed us to plant a church with the same name here, Iglesia Bautista Calvario de Temuco. It's Calvary Baptist Church of Temuco, Chile. And that name, I don't know if there's a lot of new folks here, so the name was picked by the brethren down there. We were looking at the, you know, Church of Philadelphia, or the, a more brotherly love, or, you know, the Philadelphia, or and all this other stuff. And then one of the brethren said, wouldn't it be an honor to name for the church to have the same name as our mother church, you know, our sending church? And I said, I believe that that would be, because it's an honor when you're named after someone else. It's an honor for that person, and it's an honor for us also. And so we've been there with the brethren there in Temuco for a little over 5 years now, 5.5 years. And we've seen people come and go, and we've had our share of heartaches, but we've had our share of trouble also with our region, the ninth region of Chile. There's about 1 million folks there. The majority of the people are indigenous people. Our region is in constant warfare, in constant conflict. The indigenous groups of different guerrilla indigenous groups wanting to, you know, get their territory back or anything. But basically what it boils down to is the drug trade. And so that's what it comes down to there. And I don't understand. I jokingly say, well, I don't understand how they get their weapons and their guns, because there's so many laws against having weapons and guns there, you know. Won't that keep it out of the bad people's hands? And apparently it doesn't. So, but be in prayer just for safety down there, because many times there's constantly, I mean, we've had in 2019, in November 2019, we had protests in front of our church house, and they attempted to burn the church house down and different things like that. So just all that's happening all over our region. They burn other church houses down. They burnt one down in Pongyapui here a year and a half ago. It was a Baptist church. And they burned it to the ground. I mean, it was a bad deal. And that's bad for not only the congregation and those people that, you know, had the damage done, but it's bad for those folks, because they come down pretty hard on them. And those people, the only thing that's going to change anything in our region is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our city is a city of 400,000 people. In our city, people need to be able to walk to church, to go to church, and because transit and just getting around the city. For example, if we have a brother coming from about a half hour away, you know, if I drive and get him, that's great. You know, I drive a half hour and then drive a half hour back, and that's tough on Sunday mornings, you know, when you're getting ready to preach and everything. But if he has, if his family has to take public transportation, it'd take them 2 hours to get to church. And so then you never know when they're going to get there, because, you know, public transportation, you don't, I mean, you're not, you can't control their stops or, you know, anything like that. So our goal, and the goal of our church there, is to see many churches planted in the city of Temuco. And then from there, we can see churches planted all throughout our region and all throughout southern Chile and all throughout Chile and South America and into Argentina, Bolivia, and Peru, all these areas, because people need the gospel. And people don't have it there. You know, what we take for granted here, they've never even heard of. They've never heard of, you know, grace or the salvation by grace through faith. They've never heard of that. They've heard of paying for their salvation. Many times when we're out standing on street corners, handing out tracts, trying to get Bible study started. People want to pay us for a tract. And you, I mean, that sounds strange, does it not? People here won't pay for anything. But they want to pay for this tract. It's, no, it's free. Well, what's the catch? No, it's literally, it's free. It's yours for free. And when we offer Bible studies, it's how much? They, you know, because the pastors down there, you know, or preachers or whatever you want to call them, the hirelings is what I would call them. They charge for Bible studies. And so, well, yeah, hey, you can come into my home. Hey, it's $20 an hour. You know, I'll come and I'll teach you whatever you want. No, it's for free. And they just can't, they don't get that. They don't understand that. And so our region is in great need of laborers. It's in great need of laborers. It's in great need of Chilenos, but it's in great need of other missionaries also. Because they don't have any idea. And as I heard other missionaries say before, and I feel it more and more all the time, we're not sufficient. I know in the Lord, hey, brother, in the Lord, you're sufficient. I understand that. But I just got a feeling. I don't understand why God's not calling other people to southern Chile. You know, we have a missionary right now with his family's flying down to be missionary in southern Chile. But we've had others leave. He's just replacing somebody that just left a year ago. So just pray for laborers. Pray for the work there. We're in our facilities and everything's small right now, and we're praying that the Lord would allow us to buy some property or anything, something close to where we are, because we're getting known. I mean, we've been there for, you know, almost, I guess in February, we've been in this location for 5 years. I don't want to move the church, you know, because everybody knows where we're at now. They're getting to understand that, hey, there, you know, we're known well enough to where, you know, that's where the people that, I hate using the word beggar, but that's where the beggars come. You know, we had one, we were having our Christmas dinner, and he barged in the service. That was something great. I mean, that was an interesting thing. This is the, and he's known to us. I thought he was going to kill me one time. He stopped in. I was there studying, and he came in. He barged in, and I told him some things that didn't make him real happy. And I was like, well, I think this might be it. So it's just, it's a different place. It's a different place, and hopefully one day, you know, if nothing else, in glory, you're going to get to know the brethren that we have down there. We just saw a man saved from this little town called Cajon. It's part of our community, Temuco Comunidad, or county, or I guess you would say. And we're praying. You know, his testimony of salvation, his name's Alejandro, and he was dealt with by an American missionary, you know, it would have been 30 years ago, 33 years ago. And so he said that he prayed, and when he was 13 years old, he prayed more to please the missionary, because he felt like he was his father, because he didn't have a father in the home, than he did to receive Christ. And so, you know, the Lord allowed us to lead him to the Lord, to show him the truth, show him that he needs a real conversion in his life. That's going to make a difference, him being a new creature in Christ. Which, that's what made a difference in our lives, is it not? Being a new creature in Christ. And we see just see a huge difference in him. Praying for his wife. His wife's name's Alejandra. His name's Alejandro. And so they'd be, you know, good brothers and sisters. Her daughter's name is Belen, which is Bethlehem in English. And the son's name's Axel, which is Axel in English also. But just pray for them, because Cajon, the city of Cajon in northern Temuco, you know, from what we understand, the very first Baptist church that was ever in Chile was planted in that town, in that little town of Cajon. And so, and it's not doing anything. They're not reaching the community. They're not preaching the gospel. It's more, many times the convention churches down there are more of a country club. They're more something that you go to, you're a member of, you go, but they're not evangelizing. They're not out preaching. Repent, believe the gospel, and that's what we need. They're not out doing these things. And so that town needs it's part of our community, but there, they need a church. And we're just praying that the Lord will use that family and we can get, I believe the Lord's will plant churches where he gives us people. I hope that maybe the Lord will use that family also. So just pray for us, pray for everything that's going on down there. One of the brethren, Brother Garamo's preaching while I'm gone. He's been doing all the preaching and the teaching, Sunday school and preaching, and just pray for him. I would like to ordain him as a deacon here soon, and seeing him grow, seeing the Lord work, change hearts. His heart is different. So just pray for him, pray for the other brethren in the church, that we would see God work in their lives and them submit to God's will in their lives. The same prayer we have for you all, that you all would submit, that I would submit. We'd all be in the Lord's will and do what God wants in our lives, not just what we want. So just be in prayer for us. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I'm sure you do because I know our church. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4. And we'll start reading. And we'll just read the whole chapter. I tell the folks there, yo voy a leer y ustedes pueden sufrir. I said, I'll read and you guys can suffer. And that's just the way that it works. So, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now, now already is it in the world. If it was in the world then, where's it at now? It still is now. And so we need to guard against that. And ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. For this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much, Father, for this night. I thank you for our church. Father, it's your church. I pray that you'd work your perfect will out in each and every one of our hearts tonight, Father. Would you please just do a work, Father? Our desire is that you come and meet with us tonight, that you work the work that only you can, Father. Convict where needed, Father. Comfort where needed, do what you do, Father, please. Just help us tonight. And as I always pray, let us leave here better than when we came, Father, please. Please help us. We're a needy people. We need your work. We need your love. And we need to the ability to show that to others, Father, please. We love you and thank you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this chapter here, this chapter in the book of John, I love the verses here. I mean, there's some famous things here. We know that we love him because he first loved us. You know, we know that that's a very famous verse. We know that the verse number 16 where it says God is love, people always want to quote that, God is love. Amen. God is love. And many times I got to here last year, just preaching to the brethren here, this is how we're supposed to treat one another, because it seems like we're always having to preach on that. Always having to preach. How are we going to treat the brethren? How should we interact with others? How should we interact among ourselves? How should we treat people outside the church? How should we treat widows? How should we treat all these different folks that we interact with? And it seemed there for a while, it's like, man, I'm preaching. It seems like I'm just preaching negative all the time. You know, don't do this, don't do this. Oh, you guys are a bunch of heathens. Quit doing this and do this. And so, you know, I preached, got to preach a sermon on what is our worth. The precious blood of Christ. Amen. That's how much you're worth. That's how much you individually are worth. I have 6 children, 2 grandchildren. Thank you for taking care of our daughters. I know they're probably hard to deal with every now and then, or hard to take care of. You know, and from our church, you know, the Lord's church here, we got 2 sons-in-laws, and they, you know, they're finally useful now. I have 2 grandbabies, and so I figured out their names, Mason and Josh. I know that now. But we're so appreciative of our church and of everything here, and how, you know, and so in preaching negative, in preaching, you know, hey, don't do this, don't do that, it's because sometimes we get into a spot where we're not showing God's love. You know, I heard a sermon here recently about communication, how we communicate with one another. Communication is all the things that we do one for another. You know, I remember when we were here, I remember I was always fixing stuff because God's given me the ability to fix stuff. You know, and men would go on TDY, if I remember correctly, you know, hey, my pipe's leaking, or this is wrong in my house. Can you come fix this, or can you fix that? You know, and sometimes had brethren that, you know, they, hey, why don't you come over for supper? You know, and then, okay, hey, Tuesday night, yeah, that sounds great. Hey, can you bring your tool bag? You know, thanks, brother. But communicating one with another. Doing those things that we can do one for another. Not grudgingly, because of love. And we see here, this is brotherly love. We see this is the love of God, you know. And so the thing that we struggle with there in Chile, that the folks struggle with, and I think it's a struggle all over the world, is feeling loved, feeling that love of God. You know, when I preach something, I don't really get out of the passage that we're in a whole lot. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted. And this feeling of being accepted, being loved, being accepted, is something that all of us want. Every single one of us. And I remember, you know, it's been doing some, just remembering, you know, I got to see my mom and the girls and this week and the grandkids and, you know, of course, the son-in-laws. It was necessary to see them too. But just being able to see this and thinking about how years ago, in, you know, in my youth and everything, and just thinking how God has just worked a work in my life. I shouldn't be here. Shouldn't be here preaching. It's only the grace of God. But He made me accepted in the beloved. All throughout my high school years and teens and everything, I wanted to be accepted by others. And that's what we want. You know, these young people that are here tonight, what do they want? Why is there so many problems in the world? Why is there so many problems with youth and everything? They want to feel accepted. And, you know, we can either show them how to be accepted in the beloved, or they're going to find that acceptance somewhere else. They need to know the love of Christ. We need to show them, we need to teach them that there is, to be accepted in the beloved, to be accepted, to be loved by God, and for His love to be manifest in our lives, to have that, we will have peace. When we lay our heads down at night, we'll feel that peace. You know, I think in Proverbs it says, He'll make our sleep sweet. And we'll feel this acceptance. And so, and this is love. You know, in Chile, the folks, one of the things we deal with majorly is distrust of loved ones. And there's many things, many cultural things. I kind of giggled when I brought my suitcase into Elizabeth Mason's house. You know, down there, you'll have loved ones come to your house and they'll bring a suitcase. They won't warn you they're coming. They'll just bring suitcases and you have to receive them. That's culturally, if you don't receive them, then you're a bad person. Okay, and so they'll come. They won't warn you that they're coming. They'll just show up, and they'll have their suitcases, and you never ask them how long they're going to be there. I've known of instances of people being, you know, just showing up and being at places for a month. How would you like that? Accepted. Receive them. It's a difficult thing, I'm telling you. It's like, I love you, brother. Got a little extra money for a hotel. Airbnb. But the thing here is we all want to feel accepted. We all want to feel this love. And so, you know, in 1 John, let's just read some of these verses. Go back to 1 John chapter 4. And we'll build up to this, and when we get to verse 18, we'll be over with. I love pastors saying, I tell it to the Chilean folks down there, now if you all listen quick, I'll preach quick, you know. And if you think I'm preaching long, it's because you're listening slow. So I love that. I love using that. And so we know here in chapter 4, chapter 4, verse number 8, we see here, it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. You know, this love is a brotherly love. It's affection. It's goodwill. It's benevolence. It's benevolence. It's, you know, in Spanish, we say it's amor abnegado. It's self-sacrificing love, okay? And so this love that we're supposed to show one to another is, you know, the love of God is love for the benefit of the person receiving it. And you all have heard this a million times. And I don't know why I'm preaching this tonight. The Lord knows. You know your heart. And so it's love for the benefit of the person receiving it, not expecting something in return. Just like what Pastor preached this morning. When he started preaching it, I was like, whoa, hang on a minute. He's going to get on this love thing. And, you know. But the thing is, it's for the benefit of the person receiving it. Not for my benefit. You know, it's you know, what can, and you've heard this a million times, what can we do for God that He can't do for Himself? His love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, His love was for our benefit. And that's the type of love we're supposed to have for others. That's the type of favor we're supposed to show others. That's the benevolence that we're supposed to show others. He did something for us that we can never return. We love Him because He first loved us. It would have never been in our hearts to love God. It would have never, you know, if He wouldn't have first loved us by sending His Son to die on the cross for us, we would have never thought, hey, I think I should love God. We love him because he first loved us. That's the truth. So we know that this is it's a brotherly love, and it's for the person receiving this love. And so we see here the love that he had for us, what he did for us in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Amen. I mean, that's the truth there. We see that everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. In verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for love, God is love. In verse 9, in this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The only way that we have life, the only way that we have, you know, Ephesians 2:1, we were dead in trespasses and sins, but he quickened us. He made us alive. We can only live through him and through the work that he did on the cross for us. And you've heard this a million times. I hope it's not getting old. You know, it used to be, not so much my generation, I don't know, generation whatever I am, X or I don't know what it is, but it used to be when we would meet with older folks, that they'd be like, how'd you meet your wife? Tell us about your love story. Not so much anymore. We don't do that. You know, maybe you all do that, amen, but down there, no. How'd you come to know your wife? How'd you come to know your husband? But how'd you come to know the Lord? Because he loved me. He showed his love to me. He allowed me to repent. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He wanted me to repent. He wants every single person to be saved. He loved the whole world. And so we see this, we see the love that he shows for us. And in verse number 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. I mean, that's a big word, and it's hard to pronounce. It's hard to pronounce also, propiciación in Spanish. It's the same word. But he sent him for an atonement to appease the wrath of God. The only way that the wrath of God, what's John 3:36 say? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. The only way, the only possible solution for God's wrath was Christ's blood and his work on the cross for us. And his work was sufficient. When he said, it is finished, it was finished. He didn't have to go do something else for our salvation. He died on the cross. His sacrifice was made for us. On the cross, it was finished. When he said it was finished, the only thing that could appease God's wrath. And you know, if we believe that, and we've received Christ as our Savior, then we should believe that. There should be no doubts. What Christ did to calm the wrath of God that God had towards us. Gave us favor with God. It's the only way to have favor with God. It's the only way to receive his grace. It's through Christ's work. You know, and if we understand that, if we know that, if Christ preached, repent and believe the gospel. If we've repented and received the gospel, we believe our confidence is in him. Our confidence should be in him. There should be no doubt. Period. Go back to, I wasn't going to go here, but I think we should. Luke 15. Luke 15. There should be no doubt. There should be, if we know the love of God, if we know that, hey, we know he was a propitiation for our sins. I've received him as my Savior. That made God my Father. I can cry out, Abba Father, correct? We believe that, right? Well, then we should live like that. And we should never doubt. Because our faith is in God. Not in what I did. It's in God. And so we see here in Luke chapter 15, I got saved out of Luke 15, you know, February 28, 2008, at about 6 a.m. in the morning. And so, I reading this, you know, God showed me my need of repentance and to believe the gospel. I knew the gospel, but I needed to repent and receive, put all my trust in Him for my salvation. And I'd be like, well, I'm doing this, doing that, doing this, and this, and this, and this. I was doing a lot of stuff. But I was doing the things that Christians do. How do you become a Christian? You repent, you receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. You believe the gospel. And so we see here this man that had two sons. And we just want to look here. You know, we all know the story. The younger the son said, give me everything that I have coming to me. He sold it all. And he went and he spent all his money living lewdly, in lewdness, or whatever however you want to say that in English. And so he finally figured out a few things. And so in verse number 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. We see, you know, repentance is in his heart right now. He understands repentance. He understands that he did wrong. And I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran on his neck, and fell on his neck and kissed him. Great reunion story, right? So I'm reading through this, and I'm just thinking, the Bible doesn't say anything about this younger son ever doubting that he was his father's son. Where's the doubt? He says, "How many hired servants of my father's?" He knew who his father was. He was out in sin. Oh, he was low. He was living. He was feeling the consequences of sin. You know, we could say that God had, I don't know the words in English anymore, but God dealt with him. And so God dealt with him in a manner to show him his need. And he said, I have a father. He didn't say, do I have a father? Am I my father's son? Was I born into his house? He said, my father, he has servants that have enough bread. I'm going back and I'm going to go tell him I'm no longer worthy. And we see the father had great compassion on him because he was his father. There was no doubt. Why am I saying that? Hey, if we know that Christ was the propitiation for our sins, if we've received Christ, you know, deep down inside, no matter what the devil says, I know I'm a child of God. I know my Father. And sometimes he's dealing with me. I got to see Brother Morrison the other day. You guys know him. He was in Eswatini, Swaziland. And so when I went up and preached, when he was a pastor in New York, I went up there and preached, and I was recounting my salvation testimony, and I said, God was eating my lunch. And so after church services, the scariest thing for a missionary ever is the pastor said, can you come into my office? I have a couple questions. I was like, oh boy. And he asked me, what does that phrase mean? They never heard it up there. They're in New York. I said, it was like, I don't know. God was dealing with me. He was convicting me of my sin. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like if a bully comes to you and steals your lunch and eats it right there in front of you. You know, it's kind of like that. I said, but that's not really a good example. It's conviction of sin. And I got to see him in Texas here last week, and we were talking about that. And so there was a couple other sayings that I'd used, but then I learned from that, I can't use these sayings. Then I learned from that, I can't use those sayings in Chile either when I'm preaching, because it doesn't make any sense. They have their own sayings that we're learning. You know, one of them, a famous one is to say this person has mano de agua, has a baby hand. You normally say that when somebody's really tight with money, because what if a baby grabs a hold of something? How hard is it to get out of their hand? And so they have mano de guagua. And so we can use that, mano de guagua, you know, and just different sayings like that. But anyway, God was convicting me. I know the work he did in my life. I know how I became his son. I know how I became a child of God. My faith is in him. And I'm not joking. I'm not making this up. I have never doubted my salvation since the day of my salvation. Now, has the devil tried to say something? He can't take away my salvation. Oh, he can make things difficult. It says here, it says he was a propitiation for our sins. What he did paid for our sins. We need to receive that. We need to repent, receive Christ. We understand it, beloved. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is an evidence of salvation. And so we see here, you know, if you go down to chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Oh boy. This is a sign of salvation, the love of the brethren, the love of other brothers and sisters in Christ, other believers. If he so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And why do we love him? What does he say? Because he first loved us. Well, as soon as they show me favor, I'm going to show it back. That's not what God did. God, we love him because he first loved. Why do we have to make that a prerequisite to love others? Why? It shouldn't be. We should show love. No man has seen God at any time, and if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Perfected in us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. We understand this. In verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We can have, with the love that he had for us and what he did for us, being a propitiation for our sins, to be the Savior of the world, we can have boldness in the day of judgment because we have an advocate. You know, it talks about that. He's going to be there with us. He's there now on our behalf. When the devil's trying to accuse us, the accuser of the brethren. But verse 18, this is where really the sermon is. So we got the introduction gone. Verse 18, this is the sermon. There's no fear in love. And I'm not talking about the fear of God, the respect of God. You know, that, hey, we should fear him in a fearful respect that he will deal with our sin. But this fear, there's no fear in love. There's no fear that, hey, is this true? Is what he did true? Is this right? No, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love is the love that Christ had for us. That's perfect love. His love will cast out fear. And so here is what we deal with down there a lot is, that, you know, trying to show others, hey, we should have this love. We should have the love of Christ for others. And there's no fear in love. No fear. I shouldn't. What's it say here? It says, because fear hath torment. We're not for the tormentors. God has not sent us for the tormentors. There should not be this torment that we see so many times in children of God. Doubting their salvation, doubting whether or not they're loved, doubting whether or not they're accepted. We shouldn't see that. But brethren, we shouldn't see that amongst ourselves either. In marriage, we see this many times in marriage down there, that there's a certain fear that, can I really trust this person? Well, if you don't feel like you can trust somebody, don't marry them. Seriously, do not marry them. Because if you don't feel that you can trust them, if you don't know their character enough to where you can trust them, don't marry them. But we need to learn to trust one another in our love, and we need to cast out that fear by loving. You know, many times we see people jealous, or people, the first thing down there, I don't know about here, but down there, when there's a fight, you don't love me. Or one of them will be sitting wondering, do they really love me? Does this person really love me? Or are they going to deceive me? Engañar. That should not be in our relationships as in marriage. The old thing that, I don't know what people do now, but when we were kids, we would grab a flyer, the ladies would be, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. In Christ, it's all he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. And if you have a spouse, that should be the way that it is too. He loves me. He loves me. She loves me. I know she does. She wouldn't do that. I know her character. There's no torment. And we should never, let me tell you something, we should never withhold love because of any circumstance. Love is love. Not in the sense of today. It's love, not hate. We should never torment someone else or one of our children or our spouse into them thinking, well, if I don't do this, they won't love me. That should never happen. It should be default. It's default in our relationship. Jennifer loves me. It's default in my relationship with Christ. He loves me. He loves me. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve Jennifer's love. But she loves me. That should be our default. And that's what I, I didn't grow up in that kind of home. That was default. That should be default. I want that to be her default. He loves me. I don't have to worry. He's gonna do what's right. He's not going to put us in a situation that's bad. Why? We can see the example in Christ. I hope I'm making sense here. So I guess a good question would be, is it your default that God loves you and that you're accepted in the beloved? Do you feel loved? Let me tell you, young folks here today, the only place that you'll truly be accepted, first of all, truly, truly is in Christ. Right. And once you know that, everything else, it's not gonna fix all the different circumstances in your life, but you can count on Him. Others may fail you. The Bible teaches in Hebrews chapter 13, He'll never leave us or forsake us. Right. Never. And it says in Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, that God cannot lie. We have security of eternal salvation. He cannot lie. And you want to know something? Well, I'm scared about this. You know, in the love of Christ, in the love that He has for us, we can have boldness in the day of judgment. And that's coming. You know, that's coming one day. We're all, you know, if you're saved here tonight, you're going to be at the Tribunal de Cristo. You're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ one day. If you're not saved, you're going to be at the Great White Throne judgment. And there's going to be no more opportunity for salvation. And you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That Tribunal de Cristo, or the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment bar of Christ, you know, whatever term we want to use for it, I can have confidence in that day because of what he did. I know he's going to deal with some things, but he's not going to cast me out because perfect love casteth out fear. It's tossed out the door. Isn't it good that we know that he'll never toss us out? Oh boy, sometimes I want to toss myself out. But he won't. No fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. You know, these things were written. We read down in chapter number 5. It says, for this is the love, in verse number 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's amen. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith is the victory. That's the song, is it not? Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath this witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is that record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and his life is in his Son. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's in him. You want to know something? Our salvation is secured. There's three that bear record in heaven. It's secured by them. You know, there's three that bear record in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. They're all in agreement. The record is true. You know, hey, we receive the witness of men. Hey, this is the way of salvation, and this is the way that you're supposed to go. But God is greater. Our salvation is secured in heaven, brethren. This is the confidence that we can have. This is the love of God. There's no fear in love. And it says here in verse 13, famous verse, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You may know it and have confidence in it, and build your life upon that. Knowing that God is my Father, I have eternal life through him, and nobody can take that away. There's no torment in that, brethren. You may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you feel loved? I hope so. Do you feel the love of God? If you want to be accepted, there's one way to be accepted. It's by the work of Jesus Christ. Be accepted in the beloved. Brethren, are you showing this love to others? Are you letting God perfect that love in you to where you can love in a way that it casts out all fear? Are you loving your spouse like that? Are you loving your wife like that, men? Ladies, are you loving your husband like that? to where there's no torment, there's no doubt. If not, you need to start. You need to repent. Ask the Lord to remove the fear and the torment. Ask God to help you understand the love of His love, to where you can, that His love can be perfected in you so that you can show it to others. Do you feel loved with God and in your relationships? And are you showing love? This kind of love. For the benefit of the person receiving it. To help them. Because that's what God did for us. If you don't feel that love, if you don't feel loved, you don't feel accepted, maybe you should come down tonight and ask somebody to show you out of the Bible how that torment, you can get rid of that torment. You can get rid of that fear. Because you can. You can. It can be gone. You can lay your head down tonight in perfect peace. Perfect peace. Do you feel loved? It's available. Let's pray.